want to bring to your attention some thoughts of remembrance for those who are old enough to remember.
I think at least now we got it. I was very young, but I was in junior high, at the very end of junior high. My teacher was an American. The school speak four languages, and you have to know German, and you have to know Castilian Spanish and Italian, and you have a choice of French or Arabic language. And this American teacher brought a picture to my life that I'm 74 now, and it's still in my mind. It was September 2, 1945. She blew up the first page of the New York Times, put it on the screen, and she said, "Boys, we were only 10 in class, the special school, only 10 people per class." She said, "Boys, the war is over." When you are so young, you don't know what that means. But the face of the teacher light as she said, "I have a son in Japan. And today, September 2, at the 1200 hours, the Japanese army, the Imperial Army of Japan, surrender to the great army of the Allies, the Great Britain, the Netherlands, and the American." I had no idea what she said at that time. The only thing I saw, General MacArthur sitting, signing, General Somani, General Ogisani in the back. And she forced us to remember those names of those people who signed that accord. The peace is over. Just for a few minutes, about an hour, I just want you to think in this moment. We are in a classroom together. And I'm your teacher, and I come to you with God's newspaper. This is not the New York Times. This is God's Time newspaper. It's called the Bible. And I raise this newspaper for you, and I tell you, the war is over. And you say, "What? Are you crazy? Do you eat well? What's wrong with you?" No, there's nothing wrong. Years and years back, the war started. Actually, in the book of Genesis, the war started right there. In Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 2, this newspaper tell me that God created mankind. You know, mankind is made of three parts. You don't need to be a doctor. Actually, doctors don't know. But you are made of a body. That's your anatomy. You are made of life. That's your spirit. And you are made of a soul. That's your person. That's what Genesis 2:7 said. And this newspaper said that God, after created man, said, "This is very good. Gadol Isha. This is very good." And so God, they say the newspaper, placed man in a beautiful garden. And as they were in the garden, God said, "Anything you want to is yours. You can plant, you can command, you can do what you want to." Then God created the women for that man, and he married them and said, "Enjoy life." Except one little thing, he said, "By the way," he said, "you know, without a test, you don't know if you are good or bad, all right? That's why you go to school and you have a test. You have a semester or a quarter so that you know if you really know." And so the test of life is obedience. Do you know, obey the rules? You know, the officers in the street, they are watching you to see if you obey the rules, yes or not. And so God said, "Now, from these trees and this section, this is the only thing that belong to me. Now the rest is yours. You can get buy giraffe and go with them wherever you want to. You can live any place you want to in the whole universe. It's yours. It's yours. And mankind, like children, when you said, when my grandmother, my Arabic grandmother will say, I put the chocolate here, she said. Do not touch it, I'll be back. She was testing me, I don't know, as I was little. I just watching grandma, when she turned around the table, I just go and got the chocolate. And so God said to man, created in the fullness of God, with the ability to reason like God, with the ability to think what is right and what is wrong. God said to man, enjoy it. And what man does, he blew it. He disobeyed God. You think you can get away? God declared war on man. And in Genesis chapter 3, on the very last verse of Genesis 3, verse 24, the Bible said, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. That's God's general army. And flaming sword, which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. Man lost his ability with God. And from that time on, God declared war of man. Man trying to do all kinds of things to become at peace with God. Man created religion. You know, as you study Eastern religion, you see so many branches and so many things, the Baha, the Islamics, and all of these religions, they try to be at peace with God. But the newspaper said, there is war, and you cannot make it. Except that I want to bring you a newspaper from 2,000 years ago, written in heaven, heard by everyone as the angels speak. And the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2, verse 14, remember Genesis? God put the angels that you cannot touch it. But then in Luke chapter 2, in verse 14, God sent the angels and again. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the reason is Bethlehem of Judea because there are two Bethlehem, and this is the particular who was the promised city. Glory to God in the highest, said the newspaper. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. And the original have a special way to write and say, from God. God will to man from God. God will to man from God. Listen, I'm at peace with you because of the one that is born. The war is over. You don't have to fight anymore with God. Would that impress you, that newspaper? Let me tell you some of the headlines of that newspaper. As you read the Bible, you can take one, they send the pew and take it home, it's paid for. When you get saved, you bring back the money. But it's all right. you understand what I mean? This book is saying God's not fighting you. God's not condemning you. Let me show you some of the scriptures. The song said, go and tell it. God in talent, God is not angry with you anymore. Listen what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse 20. For you have been bought with a price. God bought you with a price. It's not what you bring, it's what he brought. And he brought Jesus Christ. There is no price. There is nothing that I can do to justify myself before God. There is nothing that I can pay for. There is nothing that I can donate to that will satisfy God except the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. He was born, and God said, goodwill toward man. I'm at peace with you. God isn't angry with you anymore. He provides a way with God. Brazil, there is a mountain called the Cristo Redentor. And on the top of that mountain, there is a Christ, giant Christ. When you fly over, you see it. At 30,000 feet high, you see the giant Christ and bigger steps into the mountain. When Dr. Billy Graham went to Brazil in Rio de Janeiro, and he stepped those steps up. He told the mayor of the city, you miss one thing. You miss an scripture here. He said, I wish you'd write in Portuguese here, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the mayor wrote that on the top of that hill. And you get binoculars, and you take the pilot to just incline 15 degrees on his wing, you can really see it. Christ in you, the hope. God isn't angry with you anymore. The paper said, God isn't upset with you anymore. Therefore, says 2 Corinthians 5, if any one be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. See, the terms of that reconciliation were God's terms. I remember that American teacher telling us, we know this is peace. One of our big head cookies. I was in that school. I was not too smart, but the others were smart. And they said to the teacher, how do we know there is going to be peace? So we know because it's on American terms. And we know that we have peace with God through Christ because it's on God's terms. It is not in my terms. It is not in the terms of a church that writes a bylaw or writes a confession of faith. It is written in God's word, who has reconciled us to himself. God willing, he said, through Christ Jesus, you are mine again, and you can have peace with God. God is not upset with you. God isn't frustrated with you. Romans 1:16, a very well-known verse, said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God, the dynamite of God, for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and then to the Greek. God offered unlimited salvation to the soul, to the mind, and to the body. God offered the power that you come to believe. Some people read the Bible, say, Pastor, I read the Bible, I really go to sleep. What's good? Sleep and wake up and keep reading again. You know, happen to all of us, especially if you read at 12 midnight. But get up at 5:30 in the morning, go to the gym, come home at 6:30, and then open the scripture and read it. You say, I don't understand it. Keep on reading. Keep on reading. Because this is the dunamos, the dynamite of God that will cause you to say, oh, I wonder. Oh, I wonder. Oh, I wonder. Not too long after that, you come to know God. You don't need me. You need God. And he wrote the newspaper. It's right here. God isn't frustrated with you. God is not upset because you say, oh, there is no God, like some people tell me in the coffee shops. Oh, get out of here. This is not right. I was like that. I only want to play soccer in my life and be a big star. And when I got to the first division of my club, I got it. God gave me a tough girlfriend. I will go with the newspaper of the next morning. Look at your boy shining over the sky, catching that ball. And having all this money, 18 years old. And she said, I'm careless. And she will rip off the newspaper. Oh, man, don't do that. My picture in the newspaper. See, that's us. We want ourselves to do something. We want ourselves to be the greatest. But God is the greatest. When you and I have no idea who God is, he already wrote the newspaper. He said, I'm for you. I'm just getting to you. I'm reconciling you. God isn't condemning you. Like some people think that God is the policeman that is waiting for you to pass. Not too long ago, I was driving in Highway 152, coming right into the turn to Gilroy, and I was a good boy, 65 on the clock. And here is this evil policeman with a thing like this, trying to check everybody. I want to stop and talk to him. My wife said, don't do that, don't do that. So I want to stop. Why are he so upset about it? He said, don't do that. Yes, keep on driving, keep on driving. I like to ask questions, people. I said, why do you do that? Why do you put that thing on people? Some people think that God is like that. That you wake up in the morning and God has his meter reading on you. Come on, let me read for you. And you know, God wrote the book of Revelation. That's not the last book. The letters, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John are the last letters. After Revelation is written, then John, who is in jail in the island of Patmos, he writes it, and he said, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." Sometimes when we pray, we don't say a word, all right? We just stand and say, God knows everything. God knows your heart. Psalm 103, verse 14, King David said, "He knows our frame, and he remembered that we are doctors." No, he said, "And he remembered that we are dust." This is God. This is the newspaper. Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You don't please God with a check of $1 million. No, sir. You please God with your faith when you come to believe in God. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man. The man, Jesus. So I want to lift up this paper today very high. Is that the war is over. You don't have to fight anymore. Sometimes late at night, I wake up, 2 o'clock, at the time I get a call, 2, 3 o'clock, and then you cannot go to sleep. So I turn my radio to Arabia and listen just to practice my Arabic language to the new Ali Ababa radio station. They tell you everything they think about the Americans, just clear. They have a 1 hour prayer, and I listen to their prayer. And you know, when they pray, they're upset because their intercessor died. And one of the prayers, they say, "We go to Medina and we cry and he's dead." How blessed we are that this newspaper said that Jesus died and rose again. And so go and tell it to the Arabs that Jesus, our mediator, and he's alive. The Jewish people, as I talked to the rabbi, they said, "You need an intercessor," and he's right. You need an intercessor. But I had news for him. It's not the Jewish high priest, the intercessor. It's Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:14 said that he is our high priest. And so go and tell it to the Arabs. We got the mediator, Jesus Christ our Lord, who is not against you. He said, "Believe in me." We can go to the Jewish people and say, you know, don't fight any longer. Don't try any longer. We got the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can go to the Gentiles, you and me, it's called Gentiles, and say this, listen, we got a Savior. It is not the church, whether Catholic or Protestant or whatever. No, it is Christ Jesus our Lord. When Paul was in trouble, and then he and Silas, by a miracle, he get out of the trouble. The man, the elite soldier of Roman Empire, said to him in a simple word, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" What an opportunity to say, "Oh, believe in my church in Jerusalem," or "believe in this," or "believe the other," or repeat these words 10 times. You know what Paul said? "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." I got news for you. The war is over. Don't fight anymore. Rejoice. God is for you. There is one thing you have to do. Believe it. Our teacher told us in the classroom, when that Hiroshito signed the paper, he believed that he surrendered. And I think that when you said, "Jesus, I believe in you," God believes that you surrender. May this Christmas be such a Christmas where you and your family celebrate the good news of God's newspaper. Christ has come. Now we believe in him. Now we are one with him. Thank you, Father, for the blessedness of praising your name. Thank you, Father, for the blessedness of having in the Bible tomorrow newspaper, for 2,000 years, you are proclaiming to the entire world that Jesus Christ have come. He died and rose again. He is the reconciliation spot. He is the one that brings us in oneness with you. So because of your love, we are thankful. The Bible tells us that when we were yet sinners, he loved us. And so, Father, you are for us. You are no longer against us. Thank you for the good news. Today in Bethlehem was born a child. And that child is goodwill toward man from God. Father, thank you. Bless all the congregation here tonight. Bless their families. Protect our men who are in Afghanistan and Iraq. We have few of them in our church. Put your arms around them and protect them from the enemy so they and their families know that you love them. And for all of us who will not have some family members because you took it up into your presence in heaven, we pray that you comfort us and that you give us the spirit of the joy of the Lord. Was one great governor in Jerusalem. His name was Nehemiah. And Nehemiah has a great priest beside him. And the priest told him the secret of life. He said in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Lord, make every family here tonight, every family who is listening over the internet and later on watching over television, let them have the joy of the Lord at the strength of their life. In Jesus we pray, amen. Amen. We do have some surprise for somebody. Is that right? Yeah. All right?
So, go ahead. On behalf of the choir, can you hear me? On behalf of the choir, we know that we spend a lot of time practicing, but we had an easy part. And Darlene offered to lead us. And she did that gladly, and I know we caused her heartaches because sometimes her schedule didn't work out. We know that it was a very stressful time, but the Lord carried her through, and everything turned out beautifully. So we just wanted to say to Darlene, Laurel, thank you for leading us.
Wow.
Volunteer. I don't believe in paid staff. We started with three people at church 27 years ago, and I don't want to waste your money and taxes and Social Security and so on. Everything that comes into the church goes into the ministry. Very important. Otherwise, 30% of the church would be on Social Security and taxes, and who knows how many more taxes we will have. So we are safe. And so Darlene volunteered, the ones who played the piano, my wife for so long, and then Payan now, what a blessing. All the children that works here, and everybody is volunteered. Thank you from my heart to your heart to understand that we give our life. Our secretaries are volunteer. We have a group of secretaries, one put inside, the other put this and the other. It's just fascinating to see when we love each other, how wonderful it is to collaborate and to put things together. The lady has prepared some refreshments for you, and we're going to ask my good pastor Thomason to come here and pray for the refreshments. He's my associate. He's also a volunteer in the church. He's a super engineer in Cisco. I don't know how the people you make 300,000 a month, but it's all right.
I'm just waiting for that check.
Hi.
In the Lord's time. Let's pray for this. Father, we thank you for your divine blessing, for the blessing of your word and of your spirit. We thank you for the blessing of the food that you have provided for us here. And I pray that we would be strengthened by it to do your will. Draw us closer to you, that we might live for you every day of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You can make your way to this door here, and you can stay by around maybe, or you can go to the trainers.